Okay, this morning, we're still in the deeds of the flesh, and these are, as we saw last week with idolatry, these things are nothing new. They have been around since, almost since mankind has. Idolatry has always been a problem, continues to be a problem, whether it be idols that we build and put in our homes, as some people do, or if they're idols that we have in our heart. We saw that anything that comes before God in our heart is an idol to us, and that we need to guard against that. And today we're going to look at sorcery, which is connected, at least through the scriptures, somewhat with idolatry, because they went hand in hand. Today it's not so much. I don't think we have people who like palm readers and those kind of things, and I don't know of any idols that they promote. I think what they're promoting is making money, putting money in their pocket. Does anybody have a definition for sorcery that they would like to share?
Witchcraft.
Okay.
The literal meaning is a lot or fate or destiny. So the people who practice that will, you know, use that to tell, you know, to try to tell the future or to and change fate or destiny in some way, or claim to have that. But
okay.
It's the use of power, you know, whatever imaginary or even real, it's the forces of evil that were available.
I don't know that anybody ever had control, even in the scriptures, over spirits beside God. I don't know. That was the thing they claimed.
Yes.
I think that's why I believe that when Samuel was called up, that she was the sorceress was shocked as anybody, because she knew she couldn't do this. And when somebody actually appeared, she was probably the most scared of all. But I don't know of any, and if you have a scripture, I'll be glad to look at it, but I don't know of any place in scriptures that they're ever given any credit for being able to do any of the things they claimed. Now, what I did find, Lauren?
Go ahead.
What I did find that they would use medicine and drugs to supposedly, and they called it spells, but, you know, you can give someone a hallucinogenic drug, and then they believe, okay, they don't know that you've given it to them, and then they can even use poisons. You know, if they want to kill somebody, say, I'm going to kill somebody, they can poison somebody. Of course, back then, and still today, from what I understand in Africa, the witch doctor is all-powerful. Whatever he says and whatever he does goes, and you don't want to cross him because there's something he does, whether it's through these drugs or just through fear, controls these people. Lauren?
Well, I found the drug thing in vines that they used to supposedly appeal to occult powers. But something else I found that I thought was interesting, that it was really designed to keep the applicant from the powers of evil. You know, if somebody was afraid of something, they spell or charm or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that it was actually meant to impress the applicant with the power of the sorcerer. So it was more of an egotistical thing. Or as much of a show thing as it was to supposedly help somebody.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And in doing that, if I impress you and scare you or whatever I do to make you, it makes me feel good, but that makes me have control over you. So that's how they get some of their control, I think, is through this. While they're feeding their ego, these people are being scared to death. And so if you feel like, if you've seen someone else cross this person or go to this person and not do what they recommend, and bad comes to them, what are you going to do? You're going to think they have some kind of power. I think they knew that they could not do what they claimed because the Egyptian, what happened the first three plagues, what happened when Moses turned the water to blood, what did their conjurers and magicians and sorcerers do?
They were able to copy it.
Yeah, they could copy it. So somehow there was something they could do through trickery. But then when it came to the gnats, what did they say? we can't do, they couldn't mimic that. And let me see, I've got that written, I've got that marked somewhere. Let's see if I can.
You know,
see if the Exodus 7, I think.
Place,
you know, I don't understand.
How do they do those things?
I don't understand it either, but it was through some of their, you know, when we see magic today, you know, some of their illusions are good.
Yes.
Their hands are quicker than my eye. And, you know, they're good at it. Let's see. Okay, several times, I guess it's down through the fourth plague.
It's the third. Look at 8:13. If his bread forth the line.
7:18. Okay, that's what I'm looking for. I have it marked. 8:18. Okay, well, that's what I'm looking at, but I didn't. Yes. Okay, on the fourth plague, they could not, or the third plague, they could not do this. And it says, this is the finger of God. So the magicians knew. You know, they knew their little tricks that they could do. And probably God did things because this wasn't going to work, and God knew that. And so here they feel pretty good. Hey, we can mimic that, whatever it was they did. But then they go so far, and they know they cannot do this. And so, they could not impress with their powers anymore to show how powerful they were. Anyone else have a definition they would like to share?
What I was referring to a while ago, you know, each one can go and study it for themselves. I did put down 1 Samuel 28, and I think the language there supports that, yes, she was surprised, but she knew who it was, and she said, "You're Saul." And then Samuel speaks, and it's not the woman said it, Samuel said, but Samuel speaks. And and then in Matthew 9, where there is demons and spirits, and Jesus is casting them out, and they knew who he was, he came and he had the power over them. In Mark 15, it's legion, the legion. And there were spirits who controlled people, but Jesus had the power over them as the Son of God. And so in a certain time, in a period of time, we see people that had real demons and real spirits, and they were of darkness, but Jesus came and he had power over them.
I agree with everything you said,
but
the people did not have power over the demons.
No.
And that's what a sorcerer claims.
Yes.
And so I don't see that as sorcery, because this was the demons controlling people, not people controlling the demons, as people who are sorcerers claim. And yes, Jesus had power over them because he was the Son of God. But God, I don't know of any time, except in the case of where Samuel was called up, that anybody ever had power over any demons. And this was not over a demon. This was over, huh?
She didn't do that. That was God's.
Exactly right. God allowed it to happen when she said it. But I mean, it was during the time she was calling him up. And God, it wasn't, she didn't have any power. She knew she didn't have any power. That's why she was so scared, because she knew that Saul had all of them driven out. And she was scared of Saul when she came and realized who he was, because she thought it was a trick to set her up. But I do not find, even in the New Testament, where the demons have control of people, that's not the same thing as sorcery. That's something God is in control of. God is still in control of those demons. He's allowing this to happen. But I see that totally different as me claiming that I can put a demon in you. You don't do what I say, I'm going to give you a demon. I never see anywhere in the scriptures that anybody had the power to do any of that. God had control of the spirits, but not any human that I ever know of in my reading. Anything else about what this was or what the definition? Did you come off the door? Before we look at God's law concerning sorcerers in the Old Testament. Okay, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 18. Lauren, would you read verse 10 through 14, please?
It shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God for these nations which you will dispossess. Listen to soothsayers and diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you.
God didn't allow them to have any participation in this. They were to totally drive these people out. In Exodus chapter 22, in verse 18, it's in a list of different things of what they were to do with people. In verse 18, he says, you shall not allow a sorceress to live. The person who practiced sorcery was to be put to death. They were not to have any connection with that at all. Let's look at Leviticus 20 and verse 6. Actually, we're going to read verse 1 through 5. Amanda, if you would read that, please. Leviticus 20, verse 1 through 5 is actually what I want you to read. I'm sorry.
The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall also say to the sons of Israel, any man from the sons of Israel or from an alien sojourning in Israel who gives any of his offspring to Moloch shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will also set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given some of his offspring to Moloch, so as to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. If the people of the land, however, should ever disregard a man when he gives any of his offspring to Moloch, so as not to put him to death, then I myself will set my face against the man and against his family, and will cut off from among their people both him and all those who play the harlot after him, by playing the harlot after Moloch.
Verse 6.
Okay. As for the person who turns to mediums and spirits to play the harlot after him, I will also set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people.
Okay. I wanted you to read 1 through 5 so we could understand what it means to cut off from among the people. Some people think, okay, they're just put outside the camp. They're not allowed to associate with the people. But actually, this means put them to death. Anytime you read in the Old Testament about cutting them off from among the people, if you want to know what that means, go and read the first 5 verses here, because they're used interchangeably. To put to death and to cut off from among the people mean the same thing. It's for the same sin, that both of them are used as punishment, so they mean the same thing. And we see from Exodus 18 and verse, 22 in verse, chapter 22 and verse 18, they were not to allow a sorceress to live. Lauren?
Exodus 22:18.
This was a serious thing. This was not something to be played with or toyed with. It wasn't something that they could, they're from another nation and they can participate in it and they can be my friend. They were not to have anything to do with this. It was that serious a problem. God thought it. And the reason was, first of all, God said it and so that was enough, but God gave them a reason. These people are going to influence you. And this is a great lesson for us today, because if we make our friends people who participate in things that we know that are wrong, whether it be gambling or drinking, and that we make those our friends and we associate with them and spend our time with them, they are going to influence us. Our dress is influenced a lot of times by the people we associate with. That's why we need to be careful of who our children's friends are and what they participate in, what movies they go to see. That is going to influence our children. That's why you should not be ashamed to say, where are you going to be? I might show up there. You better be where you say you're going to be, because they need to understand this is a serious matter. You have a reason, and they may not understand it, and at a certain age you can try to explain it to them, and they still don't understand it. It's still, it's not happening as long as you put your feet under my table. If you want to eat here and sleep here, you follow my rules. Or if you think you're old enough not to do that, you find someplace else to live. But I will not tolerate certain things. You're not going to drink in my house. You're not going to smoke in my house. You're not going to sleep with somebody you're not married to in my house. That's not happening. And they need to understand how seriously you take these things. Let's look at, there's magicians or sorcerers were still in New Testament times. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 11. So this was something that had not died out. It wasn't something that just disappeared. Bobby, would you read Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 11?
Now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic acts.
Okay. Here, it's just like the magicians today. You know, they don't want you to know their secrets. They claim they do magic. You know, they make buildings disappear. They do all kinds of things. In fact, here, I guess it was maybe 7 or 8 years ago, there was a magician who had a TV show for several weeks. And he showed some of their tricks. And the magicians who were still doing these acts were very upset with him because, you know, they really wanted people to believe this was all just magic. And you may not know how. We used to go when Astro World was still here, and they had a magic show for several years. And when the boys were in high school, junior high and high school, that was kind of our summer vacation. We'd buy season passes and we'd go to Astro World. We'd watch their magic act. And there was one that always amazed me because there's a motorcycle there and a guy on it, and then it's just, you know, the smoke clears and the motorcycle's gone and something else is there. Well, that was one of the things he explained. And what they do is they yank it up into the ceiling where you can't see it. The curtain comes down. You know, they got curtains, a valance type thing, or a valance hanging there. And so, you know, he's strapped on and he's sucked up there. I say sucked up, you know, pulled up there, and you can't see him. He didn't go anywhere except where they put him. But there's all kinds of things. And so this is something that is still, and there's still today, there are people who want to tell your fortune, they want to read tea leaves, and there may be a lot of other stuff in the magic arts, that black arts as they call them, that I don't know about and don't care to know about. But there was another sorcerer that they dealt with. Peter dealt with this one, and Paul dealt with the one in Acts chapter 13. This one didn't turn out quite so good. Linda, would you read verse 6 through 12, please?
And when they had gone through the whole island as far as Patmos, they found a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. And this man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But even the magician, for thus his name was translated, was opposing him, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Paul, who was also known as, but Saul, also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, gave his eyes upon him and said, you are full of all deceit and fraud, and you the son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make the crooked the straight way to the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeing those who would lead him by the hand.
Okay. And, of course, the proconsul believed, but when he saw what had happened. This one didn't turn out quite so well for the magician.
Pat, what about, do you think that there are people that can use those extra senses that they have, maybe, I'm thinking of people that police bring in to solve a crime. What do you think about that? Is that?
I don't know. I think there are people who have a criminology background who can do a profile, just like the FBI profilers. They can take a case and they can look like people, like when the kids are all disappearing or murders, you know, mass murderers and that kind of thing. I think they can look at a profile and maybe see that this is the same as here and here, and they have some knowledge of those kind of things. But as far as, oh, I saw a vision and this child's buried somewhere, how many of those ever turn out? You know, if that really happened a whole lot, you would hear a lot more about it than what they claim.
It happens, but here's the thing, they say, okay, then of course not going to know exactly where these people are, but they'll say it's by this, it's by that. What happens most of the time is they don't find it. Somebody happens upon it years later, and when they do, what these people said, but they don't tell you the exact, you know. They can't tell you, like somebody says, okay, you go here and you find them.
But how many times are they right is my question. You know, even a guesser. You know, even occasionally you're going to get something right. Who is it? Who's the great Nostradamus? All these predictions that he made, some of them were so vague, and, you know, they can plug them in. And, you know, maybe actually once out of however many thousand he did, he got right. You know, I can guess your age, and if I guess it long enough, I might get it right. But that doesn't mean I had any powers to do that. Deanna?
Well, if you're going to get rid of a dead body, where are you going to put it? Buried in some obscure wooded place.
Mm-hmm.
So for somebody to come in and say this child is, you know, buried in the forest, you know, in a shallow grave, anybody can figure that out. I mean, that's what you're going to do with a dead body that you're trying to hide.
Okay. So, you know, people make a lot of claims, and that's between them and God. I'm not their judge, but I don't see. I think if there was people like that who really had those powers, we would find a lot more children. And when there's mass murderers and like the snipers and all that kind of thing, if there were people who really had those kind of powers, a lot of our crime would stop. So I can't see this.
Doesn't verse 10 describe what they are? They're full of deceit.
Mm-hmm. And fraud. Yes, that's exactly right. And they're sons of the devil because we know that they're not doing this by the power of God. So if they claim to do it by the power of God, you know that they're lying because God does not give people those powers today. He's not promised that.
That's what God says in Jeremiah 27. I went back and read that. In Jeremiah 27, 9 and 10, he's indicting Israel because they did listen to not only their false prophets, but he named the diviners and the soothsayers that they had brought in, you know, and were listening to them. And he says they prophesy a lie. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with Saul, you know, when we were talking about in 1 Samuel. He wanted to get advice and knowledge from a different source than God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the big problem. He didn't trust God's word. He was looking to trust some other word besides God's word. And that's why he was in trouble in the first place.
That's right. It's interesting. I believe these people know that they can't do this. Go back to Daniel chapter 2. When the king had, when Nebuchadnezzar had his vision and he called these people in, what was the difference with what Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to do in Daniel than what normally happens?
The king would usually tell them the dream and
they would
interpret it.
Yeah, but the king knew. If you can't figure out the dream, you can't figure out the answer to it. So see, he didn't really even trust his diviners. He knew, and his sorcerers. And in chapter 2, verse 10, they say, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there's not a man on earth who could declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything of this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. What do you mean, king? You want us to tell you the dream and then tell you what it means? How can you do that? You know, so they couldn't all get together and try to decide and come up with some kind of answer. You tell me the dream, and then tell me the interpretation, too. And that's what made it so amazing when we can pick up our scriptures and read, and that's exactly what Daniel could do. Daniel, by the power of God, could not only tell what the dream meant, but he could tell the king what the dream was. And so we have these people that make these claims, But, and you know, I believe they can become self-deceived. You know, you tell a lie long enough. I really believe O.J. believes he didn't kill those people. You know, he's told that lie long enough that I think he believes he's innocent. And maybe he is, but I don't see how with all the evidence and everything. But
I don't think he really believed it, but there are people, believe me, they lie better than they tell the truth, and they don't keep up with when they're really telling the truth.
Well, that's probably true. Steve worked for a man one time when we were real young, and he was a car salesman, and he could lie better. Steve said he can lie with a straight face. He said, I believe he could pass a lie detector test. Now, he was not real bad to cheat people, but the people that Steve saw him lie to were people that come in and were feeding him a line, and he knew they were feeding him a line. He said he could lie right back to them and never bat an eye.
That's what I used to tell my husband. You lie with the truth would help you better.
Yeah, that's right. Well, a lot of people do that. That's the way a lot of people live their lives. Okay, what can we do to avoid, we say, okay, well, this isn't a problem with us. Can you think of any areas where this could be a problem in our lives and what we could do to avoid it? Has anybody heard anybody say, I will not let my children read the Harry Potter books because they're about witchcraft and wizards and that is sin? Okay, that's something we have to think about, is it? Of course, if you're going to do that, then you're going to have to not let them watch cartoons because I don't know many bunnies that talk. And you have to teach your children between truth and reality. And to me, that's a good teaching opportunity to help them. But that is an area that a lot of people struggle with. Halloween is something that I've known people who struggle with. They feel like any hint of that. You can't pass out candy, your children should never go trick-or-treating, you should never let them dress up for dress-up day at school. And so these are things that people deal with and that we need to try to be sure we have a good solid scriptural basis for what we do and why we do what we do and that we do participate. Do you know anybody or have you ever had a friend or just hear somebody laugh and say, wouldn't it be fun to go have our palm read? Well, when I was younger, I would hear people talk about that. Oh, that'd be so much fun just to see what they'd say.
Have your fortune told.
Yeah, or have your fortune told.
Yeah.
Why would we want to participate in something like that? I'm not saying it's sin, but why do you want to spend your money on something that you know is a big lie? It's not even, I guess it's entertainment. That's the same thing, one way I feel about the books and the movies that are about witches and wizards and you know, like Bewitched used to be on TV, and I knew people who, that wasn't a good show to watch. That promoted being a witch, and I thought, well, I can't twitch my nose. But, yeah, and anyway, these are things that we need to think about because these are areas that would fall, in my opinion, would fall under sorcery if people wanted to talk with you about them. And you need to know, whatever your thinking is on it, you need to have a good foundation to be able to answer their questions scripturally and know why you feel like it's okay to participate in these things. You know, my children were among some of those that went and stood in line as soon as the book opened, when the Harry Potter books were coming out, and I just thought they were dumb. You know, it's going to be on the shelf a long time. Why do you have to have the first one? And then they'd sit up all night long. You know, they wouldn't get home till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and then they'd sit up the rest of the night reading the book.
And it's Star Wars and the Force.
Yes.
That kind of thing. We dealt with that because our children were in the midst of the time it started. And so we had to do some teaching there. You know,
sure.
That it's paper 10, it's
make believe.
It's make believe. You cannot, this is what our take on it. If, you know, if someone else felt differently.
Sure.
And was really convicted about that. The same with Halloween. When we lived in New Jersey, we had some new converts that were coming out of the world, some of which had delved in a little bit of witchcraft. Witchcraft was prevalent in the area where we live. We did not put outdoor things for Halloween and everything because of that circumstance, so that we would not cause some of those people, you know, to think that we were advocating, you know, witchcraft. And so if you have to make decisions sometimes for the good of others.
Exactly right. I think I've told all of y'all that.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have a Christmas tree for many, many years because there were people in the congregation who felt like it was wrong, but we knew that if we did it, they would think, well, if the preacher does it, it must be okay. And we did not want to have any influence on them to cause them to stumble and do something they felt like in their heart was wrong. Not that they just didn't want us to do it or didn't like us doing it, but afraid that it would cause them to go against their conscience. And it's the same thing with Halloween. You may find yourself in circumstances where you could not allow your children to participate in that for that very reason. Okay, any other questions or comments on sorcery?
I don't know if this falls on the lines of it, but it was something that I caught myself saying a lot was, oh, you're so lucky, or, I guess I don't know if it's the same line as sorcery, but I catch myself saying that sometimes. We're not lucky. Those are blessings.
That's
or,
right. Well, I think the sorcerers would want you to believe in karma and the thing that,
yeah.
You know, you come to me and I can change all of this. I can give you luck.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can take away these bad things that happens to you and I can give you, you know, whatever they bless you with or whatever they can, you know, their charms or whatever they want you to take and sell. And if you'll notice, at least today, and it sounds like even in the scriptures that it was for profit, those people, this is how they make their living. And they're going to do things to, you know, try to want you to come back. You're paying them. And so, but no, you're right, Amanda, it's not luck. I think we say sometimes, you know, I had a good chance to learn the truth. No, you didn't have a good chance. Everybody has the same opportunity to learn the truth. It's what your heart is. And so it's not, I think we need to take it and put it in our mind as this is a blessing, not a chance. Also, that's something else I hear a lot of people say, that talk about something being a chance rather than what it really is, an opportunity and a blessing.
How do you see a chance of heaven? It's not a chance.
Oh, no, it's a sure thing. Heaven's a sure thing if we follow and do what God wants. His grace, He wants us to be there.
You know, something that's very prevalent, and it has been a long time in certain cultures, is conjuring up, and not just conjuring up the dead, but speaking to the dead or contacting the dead and telling you what they say. That is very prevalent even today. They even have shows on television.
Oh yeah, seances. That was another thing, and I meant to put it on the lesson, and I forgot when we were discussing things that we could be caught up in. A seance is something I would never feel like I, as a Christian, could participate in, even as a joke. That's just something I don't want to be involved in. There's no way to call up the dead and talk to the dead, and you know, if you hear a voice. You know good and well that somebody that either slipped out of the circle or somebody else that was hiding in another room. Deanna?
Some of the brethren in some places in South Africa had to really struggle with, I guess you'd say, ancestor worship.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. It's kind of like the witch doctor. They still have witch doctors over there, and they're in control. And if you don't worship the ancestors, they won't even feed you. You're not allowed to eat. We get that brother Williams talks about that in his reports quite often. And people that they've had to withdraw from because they have gone back to their ancestor worship and that kind of thing. But we're very blessed in this country.
I mean, you know, the preachers that go down there, I mean, it is part of their culture.
Well, Brother Ray Votaw, when we were very young and first married, we spent quite a bit of time one summer with he and his wife. They were in the States for the summer, and it was just unreal the power that witch doctors have. And a lot of this is, you know, they would use spells. Well, they were going to cast a spell, and of course they've got stuff they can make a lot of smoke and, you know, make it with chemicals and those kind of things, but they have things that make it appear that they have power, and these people are so afraid of them because all of their life they have been the one that they have gone to get blessings. You know, I can't have children, so you go to the witch doctor, and I'm sick. They're not only the witch doctor, they're the healing doctor, and so my life is in his hands. I don't dare cross him. And so, yes, that's a lot of what I would consider sorcery today, like the palm readers and the tea leaf readers and the seances and some of that kind of